Thank you for joining me today, coast to coast on the broadcast and around the world on the podcast. It's good to be together as we pursue the final days of the month of February. I hope that you have already had personal, private, some quiet time in the Word of God today. Or those of you with families, time well spent around a table or the couch, reading the Bible and meditating, thinking deeply on what you've read together. Now, I'm a realist, okay? So understand this is hard to do. You might be thinking, are you kidding me? I couldn't even get my kids to school on time or myself out the door at a reasonable hour this morning. So how would we ever have time to read and talk about the Bible? That sounds good, but it is not practical and we are not doing it. I hear you. I do. But I want to encourage you to shift your priorities and the priorities of your children. Lead by example and slowly, by the grace of God, make your home, your little apartment or your house, wherever you live, an environment where God is honored by time spent with Him. You could, for example, if you have no other resource at present, just read through Revelation chapter 1 with your spouse and kids. Or perhaps you're a single parent or grandparent raising grandkids. Get them into the Word. Have them read about what Jesus looks like right alongside us. Ask one another questions. How does the Holy Spirit speak through His Word to you and your family? You'll only know this if you make time, shove off other competing priorities, and establish a circle of quiet in a culture of noisy distractions. My prayer for you is that you will do this, and there's no better time than today. At the latest, tomorrow. Begin now with this life-transforming habit. And this habit of reading and rereading and understanding the Bible, that is, to properly interpret and to think about what you have read, is going to be essential in the home if you are then going to be a part of a church that knows sound, solid, good Bible teaching and quickly identifies, refutes, and disciplines false, bad, and heretical teaching. There is an epidemic today in Christian or supposedly Christian churches of false teaching being taught and then tolerated by genuine believers within those same churches. Let me see if I can demonstrate what I mean by describing a church. Now, do not worry. I will not name any churches in particular where this is happening. Let's just call it the ABC Church, and let's say that you're a member who's been a vital part of the body of Christ there for the last 20 years. Through those years, you have received solid preaching and teaching from the previous pastor and other lay spiritual leaders. The Sunday school in the ABC Church has been particularly strong, and this has been especially helpful to you because as a church family, you've suffered quite a lot. The church is located in what feels like a completely pagan culture. You're constantly facing the schemes of the devil. In addition to that, there have been a couple of sad incidents that have happened to people in the church where tragically lives were lost, one to cancer and the other to a road accident. But through it all, you and your brothers and sisters in Christ have clung to God and His Word, believing that even in our suffering, God is love. God is good, and God remains in charge. Indeed, through your Bible study and the teaching you've received, you know that it has always been the will of God, either by allowing it or sometimes creating it, that His people suffer. You find no incongruity in the Bible between suffering and being a Christian. In fact, you have acknowledged with the Apostle Paul that to follow Christ is to participate in the fellowship of His sufferings and to suffer for His sake. To be a Christian is to suffer. However, there are a lot of newcomers to your ABC church, and this includes a new pastor and some young elders who have a different perspective. Together, they have been teaching that God does not intend His people to suffer, but rather Christians to prosper. They say repeatedly, Sunday after Sunday, and through material being used in small groups, that God wants to bless His people. And if we will have enough faith, then we don't really have any problems at all, because our faith will help us overcome sickness, untimely death, overcome pain, financial burdens, and suffering. They even use the Bible to prove their point. But you recognize this as false teaching. You know the Bible does not teach this. In fact, you are discerning and well-trained enough in the Word to know this is heresy. The health, wealth, and prosperity teaching has got to be confronted. And you even know how to do it. Follow Jesus' instructions for church discipline in Matthew chapter 18. You ponder this and pray about it and discuss it with some others in the church, even a couple of the deacons, but ultimately you decide to just tolerate it. You do not want to rock the boat, upset the pastor, detract from church growth, and be viewed as creating conflict and upsetting unity in the body of Christ. So you and the others, convicted by this false teaching, do nothing. Well, this is very similar to what was going on in the church at the ancient and very important city of Pergamum that we read about in Revelation 2 yesterday. I read to you Revelation 2, verses 12 and 16, where Jesus says this. Again, this is Jesus talking. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, therefore repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. What internal threat to the church at Pergamum is Jesus coming with the sword of his mouth to subdue unless there is repentance? I will tell you what it is. It's false teaching in the church, and it's the believers in the church at Pergamum that know about it but do nothing to stop it. They tolerate it, just like many churches do today. The example of the ABC church is not fantasy, rather it is sadly reality. But what Revelation teaches, as does the rest of the Bible, is that Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, the head of the church, is not going to tolerate false teaching in his church for long. He is coming in power and authority to do something radical about it, and he is going to use the sharp two-edged sword of his mouth as his weapon of choice to cut down the false teachers and, listen carefully, those who tolerate the heretics. And I believe this includes many of you listening to me at this hour. Is there doctrine, that is teaching, being taught in your church that needs to be addressed through church discipline that is not being addressed? Maybe it's gone unattended for so long that now the incorrect teaching seems correct. Formerly discerning people have become delusional. After all, that which is unorthodox has become orthodox because it is so popular. Fallacy has become truth. Twisting the meaning of the scriptures is pervasive. It's in the preaching, the teaching, the books, the websites, the conferences, the youth ministry, and especially in the music. Worship music is now dominated by a lack of good theology. With few exceptions, what is written for the church to sing at present glorifies us, not Christ, and feeds the lust of our flesh rather than setting our minds on what is pure, lovely, excellent, and praiseworthy in God. And the apostasy of the church is so widespread in our country, in our world, that the risk you take in standing up to it is perceived as being just too costly. But oh my friends, something must be done about this, because if false teaching is not identified and repented of, that is stopped, then the Word of God guarantees that Jesus will come and do something about it. He will wash his church clean of lies. And if there is someone you do not want to be on the day of his coming judgment against sin in, again, this is an internal threat in the church. If there was someone you do not want to be on the day of judgment, it's either a false teacher and or a Christian who has done nothing to challenge those peddling inaccurate teaching of the Word of God, the Bible. You do not want to be either one of those. If you will read Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, you will learn about specific heresies taught in the church at Pergamum. While the nature of those false doctrines may be different in our day, the reality is the same. Christ will deal with sin in his church. And again, he does so according to Revelation 1, verse 16, with the sharp two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. Jesus Christ will build his church. And as Jesus himself said in Matthew 16, verse 18, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Hades being death. Even death cannot overpower the church, but Christ demands that his church be pure. This very much includes what is taught within the church. The church of Jesus Christ must be filled with sound doctrine. And I started out today by saying that you, yourself, and your family will contribute to solid teaching being the norm in the church if you will read the Bible and discern biblical truth in your home. Let your family come to the broader body of Christ each day with the right understanding of who God is and who we are to be as his people. And take this responsibility very seriously outside of the church building and in your home. And if you're interested in how that is practically done, what do I do about this, Mark? Then write to me today. I'll send along some suggestions to you. Furthermore, it is possible that you're thinking, wow, you're really on quite a soapbox today, Swallow. Is this just like one of your pet peeves that we're forced to listen to until we change the station? Knocking today's preaching and music? My goodness, you sound like old Emily Snodgrass, our church organist. Stodgy, out of touch, legalistic, old. Relax, brother. Get with the times. You do want the church to grow, don't you? Is that how I sound to you? Well, I can live with that criticism if that means you understand me to say that every church needs to take a somber and serious look at itself and ask, do we have false teaching and are we tolerating it? Some of you do not yet know how to discern what is true from what is false. Discernment in the church is terribly lacking. Well, I trust that this will convict you of your need to really know the Bible well, and that you will return here every day open-minded and open-hearted and ready to learn. Jesus wants his church to know the truth about him and to teach this truth to others. I pray you'll be in a church that does that, and that you'll join me again tomorrow, for God is...